access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We've kind of messed up on the idea of what a saint is. You know, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. You know, before you die, you got to do some miracles, and then down the road, after you die, they evaluate you and they determine, are you a saint or not? But that's not what the Bible says. And think about it. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Is Paul writing to dead people? No, we're writing to saints of God. The word saint means set apart. God has set us apart. That's all it means. It's nothing special. And it can't be done by our own efforts, our own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed into our lives by faith. I love the story of a little boy who was attending a church that had these beautiful stained glass windows. And I do love those stained glass windows. I think they just look amazing. And one day when he was asked by a Sunday school teacher, what are saints? He answered, they're people who let the light shine through. Doesn't that fit us? Shouldn't we be people who let the light of God shine through us and touch the lives of others? Absolutely. That's the wonderful thing. And then Paul speaks of grace and peace here in the last part of verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Charis is a Jewish greeting. Shalom, Greek is charis is the Greek. Shalom is the Jewish greeting. And grace just speaks of getting what we don't deserve. We get eternal life with God. We don't deserve it. Peace speaks of rest. And it's interesting because you will never find Paul in all of his writings speak of the peace and grace of God. It's always grace and peace. Why? Because you can't experience the peace of God until you first know the grace of God in your life. You have made peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. So here in Romans 1, verse 1 through 7, is Paul's opening salutation. It's kind of his introduction or greeting. Now we're going to see his introduction in verses 8 through 17, which we'll cover this evening. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Again, Paul didn't meet any of these believers before. And again, he has this love for them. He's aware of their faith. How is he aware? Because it was spoken of in other parts of the world. Oh man, you got to see the believers in Rome, man. They are unbelievable. You should see what they're doing. That was great. Their faith is real. It wasn't dead. They lived what they believed. It was a light to those who were living in darkness. And word spread. Without television, without radio, without newspapers, without, you know, I don't know, social media stuff, right? Isn't it amazing? How did it spread? One-on-one contact. They lived out their faith and it spread. And that's what we're to do. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 10, we see it with the believers in Thessalonica, where Paul said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves concerning us, what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Yes, they faced affliction, persecution. Here's the thing, their faith, though, was strong. And it was an example. It showed unbelievers what true faith was all about. It helped encourage other Christians who were struggling. Hey, man, look, if they can do it, I can do it. That's great. Faith that's real. Walk with the Lord, and people will notice. And Paul, he's lifting them up in prayer. And that's, what an encouragement. You know, maybe that's why they were so strong. People were praying for them. You know, I get encouraged. You know, Lord put it upon my heart to pray for you, Pastor Joe. Oh, thank you, man. It's an encouragement. It sounds silly. Just saying that makes you, yeah. Because I know who you've just laid this prayer request at the feet of, the Lord. The one who can help. He knows. And I encourage you, pray for the people of this church, the leadership, the people here. I just use our phone list. And each day I'll take one side of the phone list, pray for those people. Next day, the next group, next group, next group, and start over again. And just lift up the people. Well, I don't know what to pray for. Just pray. Lord, you know what they're going through. I just give them up to you. Just pray. And Paul is very open with these believers. He wants to come to them, not for a sightseeing tour, not for a vacation. He wants to encourage them in the faith. He wants to build them up. He wants to bring the gospel to the ones that don't know the Lord. But there was some hindrance from him getting there, but he's just trusting that God is going to get him there one day. And he will go to Rome, not necessarily the way he thought he was going to go. We saw that in Acts, how he was shipwrecked and finally got to Rome as a prisoner. But Paul was a man who was ready to preach and to serve wherever he went. It didn't matter if he was going to suffer. He would do whatever it took, even unpleasant work. He was even ready to die for the Lord. And how do you stop a man like that? I mean, you can't. No matter what happens, I mean, the guy is going, he's preaching, they stone him to death. They leave him in the streets dead. He gets up. I think he was dead. I think the Lord brought him back to life. But he gets up. Where does he go? Back into the city where they stoned him. How do you stop a guy? Didn't we just kill him? What is he doing back here? That is a tough dude. And think about it. You know, you look at men like Alexander or Caesar or Napoleon. They had their armies to protect them. Who did Paul have? Well, it's kind of not fair. He had the Lord, huh? All the armies in the world wouldn't matter because Paul had the Lord. That's the perspective that we need to have. You know, he did not count his life dear to him. He was more interested in seeing people saved. Why? Because Paul knew where he was going. He knew if the Lord was calling him home at that moment, he was going home to be with the Lord. That was it. It wasn't like he was, you know, he was worried. Well, I hope I make it. No, he knew his salvation was based in Christ. And when God, when you are in the hands of the Father, like John, we're told in John, and in the hands of Jesus, who's going to take you out? Nobody. Nobody is going to be able to remove you. We're secure in him. That is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. I think, you know, start praying for the people in this church, for our community. We see some of the things that are going on in our community. The 3-year-old boy who was beaten to death by his babysitters, those who were supposed to be watching him here in Manitowoc. Breaks your heart. You know, and we just get I was talking with Art tonight, we just get a glimpse of what's going on. And we're grieved over it. The Lord knows the thoughts and the intents of everyone's heart. How patient and long-suffering is he? But remember what the Lord said in Genesis, that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were evil continually. We are quickly moving in that direction, aren't we? It's very sad. We need, Lord, open the door so we can bring the gospel message to this community, so they can hear the truths of God and come to that saving faith, and God can transform their lives. You know, we don't need more programs. We need people to get saved. We need to bring the gospel message to them. The work is there. The harvest is ready. Now we need to go out into the fields and walk by faith. And maybe we need to stir each other up, huh? Encourage each other. For the work is there. We just need to go forward. Well, look at verse 16 here in Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is the focus, really, or the theme of this letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That's the key. It's what we need to hear if we're going to be saved. The Greek word that is translated power is dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from. You know, Scott works with dynamite. And he understands, right? Firsthand, that dynamite is used to move things. You blow things up. It has explosive power. Then it says here that the gospel has explosive power. For what? To change people's lives. See, I don't think we believe that anymore in many churches. In fact, you know, remember, the gospel is not advice to people suggesting that they lift themselves up. It's power. It lifts them up. Paul doesn't say that the gospel brings power, but that it is power and God's power at that. Absolutely. So why do we negate that? Why do we leave out what is needed most for people? Well, maybe the gospel is not very attractive. In that, what does it do? It exposes man's sin. That's what Paul's doing in this letter, right? He's exposing man's sin. He's condemning them. Finally reaching the point, hey, all of you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where you're at. Just accept it, and now I'm going to bring you to Jesus. But you have to understand, you're a sinner first. We try to make the gospel more appealing. How do you do that? How do you make it more appealing? How do you dress it up? You don't. One writer put it like this. He said, the unpopularity of a crucified Christ has prompted many to present a message which is more palatable to the unbeliever. But the removal of the offense of the cross always renders the message ineffective. An inoffensive gospel is also an inoperative gospel. Thus, Christianity is mooned at most in the house of its friends. Absolutely. You know, we have churches that, you know, are kind of seeker-friendly, that we don't want to talk about sin because it will offend people. Does sin offend people? Absolutely it does. Get used to it. I mean, come on, weren't you offended when someone said, hey, you're a sinner? I mean, of course we are. I was a good person, at least I thought I was. But the reality is, I'm not, compared to a holy and righteous God. You see, God demands perfection. And sin is missing the mark of perfection. And it doesn't matter if I miss it by a millimeter, or, you know, I shoot the arrow and I hit the guy that's over there sitting at a restaurant, right? It doesn't matter how close I get. I still miss the mark. And there's the problem. So, we take away sin. Why do we need a Savior? Do you ever think about that? If you're not a sinner, why do you need someone to save you? If I'm swimming here in Lake Michigan and I'm doing fine, and now comes this lifeguard, and he pulls me out of the water, and he's doing CPR on me, I'd be like, what's wrong with you? I'm fine. So why do people need a Savior if they don't know that they're sinners? Well, it's hard to tell people they're sinners. Don't tell them they're sinners. Let them tell you that they're sinners. Well, how do you do that? Ask them. Okay, you think you're going to heaven because you're a good person. Have you ever lied to anyone? Well, of course, everyone lies. Well, so you're a liar. Have you ever stolen anything, like a paperclip, a pencil, maybe something bigger, I don't know. Have you ever stolen it? Well, of course. I mean, come on, a paperclip, a pencil, everyone does. Well, so you're a thief. You're a lying thief right now. See, they're telling you that they're sinners. And then you can say, well, okay, we keep going down the list, but do you think God, who is holy and righteous and demands perfection, is now going to accept you in heaven because you just told me you're a sinner. No, exactly. He doesn't accept me. He doesn't accept you. But here's the wonderful news, the good news, the gospel message. Jesus came to die for you and me. You have to just repent of your sins and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. You see how that works? Do you see? They tell you that they're sinners. You didn't. Because if you do, it's going to make them angry. When I do funerals, I've done funerals for unsaved people before, and I never say they're at a better place because I don't know. If they're not believers, it's not a better place. But what I do know is I have a bunch of people who are going to be listening to what I have to say. And I don't give them any room. I show them very clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I know who I'm getting, who I'm reaching, because I see them. They'll be in that church or building, and they'll be, this is what's going on. Their head shaking. No, 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 no. It's kind of fun being up here. You see the reactions of people. But I know God is getting a hold of them because they're very uncomfortable in their sin. And you bring them to the Savior. You bring them to Jesus. You know, D.L. Moody gave a message and brought people to that one place, showing that they were sinners separated from God, and said, I want you to think about this and come back next week. I'll tell you more. That night was the Chicago fire. And Moody said, I will never, ever do that again. I will always bring them to the Savior because who knows when their time is up. Interesting. Very interesting. It is hard for me to even imagine this wonderful gift that God has given to us. That he has adopted us into the family of God. You know, when we sing Amazing Grace, it just gets me every time. He saved a wretch like me. No, he didn't save a cute, adorable little Italian guy. He saved a wretch like me. What are you laughing at? You guys are all wretches too.
We're not Italian.
That's true. Good point. Good point. The wonderful thing is, it doesn't matter where you're at. What you've done. He died for you. I love that. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is amazing grace. Righteousness that comes from God, not from us. In fact, the Bible tells us all our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's all our good stuff. That's not the bad stuff we do. All our good stuff before a holy and righteous God is like filthy rags. And we're not only saved by faith, guys, we live by faith. But so many, after they get saved by faith, end up moving towards a works relationship with God. Well, God will love me if I read three chapters today. He'll love me if I pray a little more here. If I do this, if I do that, God will love me more. Yet the Bible tells me when I was still a sinner, God loved me. Now I'm his child. Do you think, you know, he's there going, yeah, these adoption papers are not looking good, Joe. Are you kidding me? He doesn't do that. In fact, Paul in Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3 said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see, a salvation by faith and not by works. You got saved by faith. Now you're trying to work to maintain your salvation? Good luck with that. From faith to faith, from when we started to when we end. You know, J. Vernon McGee, loved the guy. He's been dead probably for some 40 years, and just his studies just nail it because he just teaches from the Bible. But he wrote this. He said, from faith to faith simply means out of faith into faith. God saves you by faith, you live by faith, you die by faith, and you'll be in heaven by faith. Let me use a homely illustration. Quite a few years ago, I was born deep in the heart of Texas. When I was born, my mother said the doctor lifted me up by my heels, gave me a whack, and I let out a cry that could be heard on all four borders of the great state. I was born into a world of atmosphere, and that whack started me breathing. From that day to this, I have been breathing atmosphere, from air to air, from oxygen to oxygen. Much later, in the state of Oklahoma, I was born again. I was saved by faith, and from that time on, it has been by faith, from faith to faith. That's exactly what he's saying. The just shall live by faith here, Paul said in Romans 1:17. Now, we are going to stop here because from verse 18 of Romans 1 to verse 32, Paul's going to talk about what happens in a nation, in a world that turns from God. Now, don't you hear people say today, what in the world is going on in our nation today? Here's the answer. The answer is here in Romans chapter 1. And it's amazing because you read this, you go, well, that just makes sense. This is what we see happen. A nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles has moved so far away from God now that we flaunt sin, that we allow children to decide what gender they are, and we wonder why we see all these things happening in our nation. We abort over 60 million children, and we wonder why these things are happening in our nation. Paul is going to show us very clearly. And, you know, for me, I don't want to leave you on that downer note that, you know, so I'll leave you on a good note. The good note is what Jesus said in John chapter 3. And I'm sure you know these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Here is this wonderful news, guys. Jesus didn't come into this world. God incarnate did not come to condemn us. Why? Because we're already condemned. Do we need more condemnation? No, we needed salvation. So God did not send someone to condemn us, but to save us. And those that reject the Savior are condemned already because they have not believed in him. And if that doesn't show you how much God loves you, nothing will. If you ever doubt it, if you ever struggle with that, look to the cross, because that shows how much God loved you. In fact, as we sang in one of the songs this evening, that Jesus is still going to bear the marks of the crucifixion for eternity. That's one of the things as a young Christian, I still struggle with this. I mean, my God is going to bear those marks for eternity. He will be the only person who's handicapped in heaven. Wow. That's how much he loves me. That's how much he loves you. And we can fellowship with him right here and now. As we ask him to be Lord and Savior of our life, the moment we do, repenting of our sins, all our sins are forgiven. We have now access to God. We can go before his throne of grace. You see, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Paul will tell us that in Romans. Are you in him, or really, is he in you, is the bigger question. And that's something you have to decide for yourself. Have I come to that saving faith? Has I repented of my sins and asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life? Because if I have, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to spend eternity with him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words this evening. Just the encouragement of knowing the work that you've done. We see the humanity of our Messiah. We see the deity of our Messiah. In the incarnation. And Lord, he never stopped being God. He's fully God forever. Eternity past, eternity future, Jesus is always God. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the salvation that is seen in him, Lord, by his shed blood, which cleanses us from all our sins. the amazing grace that you've extended to us. Help us never to forget that, Lord. Help us to shine for you, that your love, your light would not only shine in us, but through us. And people would see that and be drawn to it. Christians would see it and be encouraged. Lord, help us to be those ambassadors for you wherever we go. Not representing ourselves, but representing you, sharing the good news of a lost and dying world. We thank you, Lord, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.